Okay. You're on the record.
Thank you. I expected a bigger crowd.
I did.
That means that you've done a good job.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, I don't know what it means. I'm not going to draw any conclusions just yet. Well, I think everyone here knows everyone here, so we can probably skip the... Wait a minute.
Good evening.
Hi.
There's a sign-in sheet up in the corner, too.
Hey. Hi, Brian.
How are you doing, Brian? Okay, well now I guess we will we'll get started again. Thank you all for coming. I think all of you know I'm Brian Fitzgerald, Chair of the Planning Commission, and my colleagues.
Doug Weber.
And Alan Quackenbush.
This is a public hearing to take comments on the draft amendment to the Duxbury zoning regulations. This project was undertaken by the Planning Commission in 2015 to bring the regulations into conformance with the 2014 town plan. In addition, the amendment updates our existing zoning to meet new requirements in state law, and also the regulations have been completely reorganized so that they're easier to use and to understand. We engaged a planning consultant in 2016 to develop an initial draft amendment, which was delivered about a year ago. Since then, the Planning Commission has gone through the regulations and made a number of revisions over the course of 11 Planning Commission meetings. The amendment we are considering tonight is version 9.3, dated January 11th, 2018. Our purpose here tonight is to hear your thoughts on the proposed amendment. We won't be discussing your input this evening. That discussion will take place at a special Planning Commission meeting to be held here next Thursday, February 15th at 6:30 p.m. The draft was put on public notice on January 12th by posting the notice on the town notice boards, mailing the notice, draft amendment, and other documents to the planning commissions of our six neighboring towns, and emailing the notice, draft amendments, and documents to the Central Vermont Regional Planning Commission and the Vermont Department of Housing and Community Development. The draft was also posted on the town website on the 12th, and a copy has been available for review at the town clerk's office. Finally, the public notice was published in the Times Argus on January 13th and the Waterbury Record on January 18th. In addition to this hearing, we are accepting written comments until 3:30 p.m. tomorrow. Comments can be dropped off at the town clerk's office or emailed to me. My email address is on the town website. I believe everyone has signed in, and we are recording the proceeding. That will be the official record, but we'll also be taking notes. Please make your comments as specific as possible, and we may ask you some questions to help inform our discussion at next week's meeting. And finally, the process for adopting a zoning amendment is spelled out in state law. Once the Planning Commission has adopted a final version, which we hope to do next week, we will pass it on to the Select Board. The Board will consider the amendment and will hold at least one public hearing. Finally, the Board will call a special town meeting where Duxbury voters will decide via Australian ballot whether or not to adopt the amendment. We'll be happy to take any questions regarding the process, and then we'll get to it. And if you wouldn't mind signing in, please. No questions? Okay, we'll just start going through the list. Lars, you're first.
Well,
soon as I finish this praline, which is the first I've had in 25 years, and there's a special occasion devoted to this meeting.
Well, if you'd like a little more time, we can come back
to you.
Okay. Tamitha?
I don't have anything.
Audrey?
Yeah, I do have a few things, but first I want to thank you for doing all this work. I know how hard it is, how many meetings are involved, and appreciate it. I wanted to talk about the maps, the proposed changes,
mm-hmm.
and Alan might be able to help me with this. Maps are not my strong suit. But anyway, Area 1, the boundary between Village and State Farm districts, has been corrected to show the two parcels on the south and east side of Route 100 to be in the Village district. I was just wondering if those are, someone could point them out on the map, or if it's from them.
Sure.
These are two parcels right here that were never part of the State Farm.
Oh, okay, but those should be, it should say north and east, not south and east.
No, they're south of the road.
Is it possible to scale?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see the road curves around, so it is south of the road at that point. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's right. They're right on the left as you start up Route 100.
Okay.
For those two lots.
You know, this, we were talking about those two lots.
Well, I don't remember.
Okay.
So they're not part of the noise property.
Right. No.
Okay. Nope.
Okay.
Anything else on the map?
Well, there was something else.
As long as I'm here.
Area 4. Let's see. The boundary between Village and Rural Agricultural Districts immediately east of Route 100 at the Crossett Brook Middle School entrance. Is that right now? Has been corrected to follow the brook.
Yes. That's right. That would be right along here.
Okay. There was another one. Number 3. Got mixed up. The boundary between the State Farm and Rural Agricultural 1 districts has been redrawn to show that it follows Crossett Brook east of the point where Crossett Hill Road crosses the brook.
I have to read that one.
You want to see?
That was the one you just pointed to.
Is it?
Probably.
Okay, which one was...
I'm
which was the one you just read, Audrey?
Yeah. I'm going to have him do it.
Right here, she's the one she just read.
Okay. Yeah, that's right along here. This is right. It's right along right here. If you look at a more detailed version of the map, it doesn't. The boundary relative to the state land is not, former state land is not really clear. So it's just tweaking the boundary a little bit so it lines up properly on the map.
Okay.
These are small corrections.
So I think that's Miramoto's property, isn't it?
Franklin's.
Franklin's
boundary. Okay.
Then I had a couple other things could explain better probably. Table A on the dimensional standards.
Yep.
For the State Farm District, the plateau section. Went over this, I don't know, a few days ago or something. And that states 10 acres per use for municipal facilities and public facilities, 25 acres per use for all other uses. And I'm wondering if that's going to limit the planning for the gravel pit, because that's what the plateau is, it's the gravel pit.
Right. Okay.
The other thing is, under the State Farm District, the plateau, no, not the plateau, the River Road section, that whole section is under easement, and there's a couple of uses listed that I don't think would be allowed under the easement. Permanent processing and sawmill operations, and public facility, those two.
Okay, so we're on River Road.
Right. That's lot two as far as the
yep.
easement is concerned.
So portable sawmills was one?
Portable sawmills, I think, would be fine.
Okay.
But the permanent processing and sawmill operations.
Okay.
I would question.
Okay.
And the other thing is public facility.
You think that should be added?
No, it shouldn't be there.
I don't think it... Oh, that one. Okay, got it. Okay.
I have copies of the easement documents if you want to see that. The particular page, anyway. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's it.
All right, thank you.
Oh, one more thing. I just looked at my little note. Sorry. On uses, I couldn't find anything for motels, and I wonder if there's a reason they weren't included. We have bed and breakfast at the top, but I didn't see motels listed.
Okay.
No, I'm really done.
So, if I may, on the River Road, the permanent processing and sawmill operations is not permitted. If that was conditional, that would be fine?
No, it's not allowed under the easement.
It's not allowed?
Yeah, nothing's allowed under the easement except ag and forestry and recreation and no structures.
Okay.
Got a copy of the restricted uses.
Oh, I believe you.
And I know, but just for the record.
Well, there are other conditional uses on the on that River Road sub-district, like telecommunications, wind turbines.
Right. I thought telecommunications. We couldn't do anything about that because it's under the public service.
Yeah, but if it's not allowed under an easement,
yeah.
It's not allowed.
Yeah.
No.
And that should be taken out too.
So nothing's allowed up there.
Right.
Over there.
Mm-hmm. Except that is recreation.
Agriculture and forestry.
Yeah. Right.
Temporary recreation structures.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Brian?
Just a minute, David, please. Okay. Yes?
I seem to remember a PSB ruling that they had authority over easements. So.
All right.
That just makes that a little more complicated to review that, but that's my recollection.
No, and storage units shouldn't be there either. I think they're there, unless I can't see properly.
No.
Yeah, maybe. I guess they're not. Okay.
Nope, that's next one over. Okay. You're all set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Lars, back to you.
I just came to observe and to find out or determine if there was were any more comments coming from the general residents about repairing easements. Because that seems to be like a touchy business about encroachment on, you know, the easement that encroaches off a stream bank onto private property. And I wanted to see if anyone, if that was rising up as an issue.
Okay. Aaron?
I don't have any comments other than to thank you for doing all of this work. This has been a long process and exciting to see it starting to wind down. So thank you.
Thank you. Team effort. David.
Okay. I hope you will be precise.
David, why don't you come up here so we can make sure we catch you on the tape.
As long as you're not sick.
I've never been invited to the table.
Look at you. Okay. My first comment is that in numerous places the zoning regulations reference other statutes or regulations or maps. And the people that are reviewing this zoning to vote on it are going to make their well-educated decision based on the research of those regulations and maps as they exist today. But the regulations don't have them dated. So we vote on what's present today in a map that may look like that, but ANR may change all of those streams. And the zoning wouldn't keep up with it. It means the zoning then would apply to a new map that people hadn't reviewed and voted on. So my feeling is that all references should be dated so that we have a reference as to what people voted on, how it exists, which property owners were affected. It shouldn't be a moving target. It shouldn't be an unknown. It's we're voting on this based on these conditions. And there's the A&R Atlas is one thing, the farming regulations is another, the silviculture regulations or forestry regulation practice is another, and the regulation controlling soil erosion for building a pass is another. So there's at least four regulations that we reference in our zoning that could change and affect our zoning. I just do not think that's right. When I vote on something, I want to know what I'm voting on and what it means. Not that what it means now, but can change to anything in the future. Okay. Under definitions on page 5, height. Building heights. There is a definition which is in conflict with the definition of height on page 23. On page 5, it's the building height is the vertical distance measured from the average elevations of the proposed finished grade at the front of the building to the highest point of the roof. Four flat roofs to the deck line for mansard roofs and to the average height between the eaves and the ridge of other type roofs. That's the old definition. Mm-hmm. So when we had the discussion and you decided to change the regulations on page 23, this was not updated. So you've got a conflict between those two. Do you want the
just put page 20. Oh, height of structures, it's 4.5.
I know where it is.
Yep, okay. Certificates of occupancy. Right now, it's a certificate of occupancy, a permit required allowing the occupancy of a building structure or premise that has been determined that all regulations of applicable ordinance have been met. But it is in conflict with certificate of occupancy on page 35 in section 6.3. Which says a certificate of occupancy is required, no use or occupancy of any land or structure required, requiring conditional use or site plan from the DRB, or no new building or unit, or the addition of any habitable space to a structure shall be occupied or used in part or in whole for any purpose until a certificate of occupancy is issued. The one on page 35 is more in line with this, what is defined in the state regulations. In other words, certificates of occupancy just don't apply to a house that you live in.
Yeah, so where was the other one?
The other one is on page 5. It just refers to a building or structure. But the state regulations are almost exactly what's on page 35. Okay. In other words, the certificate of occupancy not only applies to something you live in, but a change of use, because there could be conditions required to a utilize a change of use. And
okay, got
so
it.
That's that. corner lot. We had this little discussion, but the more I read it, the more I don't like it. Because the definition on page 10 for corner lot says that any lot that's got a road frontage that's got a bend of more than 45 degrees is defined as a corner lot.
135 degrees.
Yeah, whether you're talking outside corner or inside corner, Doug. So any bend of the road of more than 45 degrees satisfies that 135 degree.
Interior angle.
Yep. All right, so then corner lots, I mean, this applies to my neighbor across the street, Carol Senning. She's got a lot that's 4,000 feet long. There's a bend on the road, so she's on a corner lot. That is in conflict with the second reference for a corner lot. Requires that corner lots have to have minimum road frontage on each street. So what you're doing if you adopt this definition of a corner lot is you're prohibiting any subdivision within a road frontage distance of a bend in the road. And any road that doesn't, or any lot that doesn't have that requirement, is non-conforming. Now, that makes me non-conforming, which means anything I would want to do would have to go to the DRB instead of a building permit. So that's something that's just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, but the...
Okay, go ahead.
Keep going, David.
Yep.
Okay, so this...
Unless you have a question.
No.
Okay,
that's right.
I mean, this looks like a... That's right, you're doing input, not discussion today. I understand that. This looks like a regulation pulled out of South Burlington where the houses are right next to these boundaries. But you're applying it to the rural area where there's huge distances. And it's just not applicable. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In my opinion. The other reference was on page 22. It's 4.2B, where it says a corner lot shall be deemed to have two front yards, one side yard, and shall meet the required yard frontage along each street. So it's essentially doubling the frontage required if your road happens to have a bend of 45 degrees on it. Height of structure, we got that one. Within the wetland and stream quarters sections, I'd just like to remind you and reiterate my feeling that I don't think this section should be in. I've been working with many people, and their feelings are that it's overly excessive. They're not even coming anymore because most of them have made up their mind. They're just going to vote no.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is, but you know, some people are affected by it. I'm greatly affected by this. This is why I keep saying my concerns. I would like to thank you guys, this board, for being receptive to doing the numerous changes that you've done. Those are all good things and appreciated. If you don't take that out, which I doubt you will, the suggestion that would probably make it more amenable to a lot of folks is to cut the distance down from 50 feet to 25 feet. And when I look along the streams, I look, you know, 50 feet is a long ways, and that's 50 feet horizontal distances, and many of our streams have steep valleys where a horizontal distance of 50 feet, you know, if it's a 100-degree slope, a 45-degree angle, which is common, it's then 100 feet. So I think that distance is bigger than it needs to be to protect the streams. And my concern is that regulations that are good and sound and respected will be respected by the people. If it's too big and it's not respected, people are going to cheat. So that's why I'm requesting that you consider that change other than the, you know, elimination of the section. Within that section, however, under B4, you give the ability to put structures in any place in the boundary if the disturbance of the ground is less than 20 square feet. So it gives somebody the ability to put in a deck or maybe a gazebo raised up. So that's a goodness. I like that. But if the intent is to allow construction without impeding the flow of the water, there should be a height requirement before you run into a horizontal part of that structure. In other words, the way it's written, Brian, you could put a piling right in the middle of the stream. And that's like a bridge pier. That's okay. But the bridge better be above the floodwater. And there's no allowance or accounting for that here. Within your flood hazard area, you've got all sorts of regulations on heights and flow and this and that and the other thing. Bazillion of them. But here you've just said it can be there as long as it's only 20 square feet. I believe it should be above the flood-prone area, which is defined as 2 times the bank flow height. And in fact, I would go flood-prone plus a little. So there, in that respect, I'm increasing your regulations. Then I had a question, but you're not doing questions, I guess. And that is, but I'll poise it out as a concern. What about enforcement? You've got a no vegetation cutting requirement for 50 feet. What if somebody cuts a tree? What is, again, this goes to respecting the law. The laws have to be defined, they have to be just, they have to be enforced, they have to be respected. Is the zoning administrator going to get called in? What if he's called in? What are the damages? What's the remediation if somebody cuts vegetation? You know, somebody might cut one tree here or there, versus somebody might go in and clear cut. So, you know, in a worst case scenario, somebody completely disrespects the law and just cuts it all. What is the impact? Should be buffered to 25 feet. On section, this is for the application, it's 6.2D1. I thought this was changed, gentlemen. I thought it was drawn to scale or dimensioned. So is that an oops? Because we had this discussion. And I've looked through many, many applications or zoning permits, and many, many are just hand sketched with the numbers put down, and you know, the zoning administrator is able to interpret it and look and make sure that it fits. But here it's saying drawn to scale, and I thought we addressed that issue. You know, you don't want a case where somebody's zoning permit is rejected because he doesn't have a professional drawing. And in that same section D, it says on the application requirements, location, define location of proposed setbacks, property boundaries, including public rights of ways, surface water and wetlands. I think that should say as shown in the ANR atlas, because those are the vehicle that you're using to define your setbacks. Otherwise, it's a question. What are we putting our setbacks to? On page 35, and that's what, going back, that's 6.2C, no zoning permit for a structure requiring a new expanded septic system shall be constructed until wastewater potable permit is issued by the state for the permitted activity. I thought we took the wastewater out of the zoning. Oh, I'm at a conflict. I think I have it backwards.
Is that C or is that B18?
D and then D. 3 and then C. It's on page 35. All right, you said you take public comment till tomorrow. I'll straighten this out and write it for you, Brian, so we don't waste time here. There was a conflict between...
Yeah, okay.
I noticed a conflict, but I didn't document it very well.
No, it says the same to me. WW permit from the state.
Right.
So... next one.
And it says it also in B18, WW permit.
Yeah, in one place we say we don't need a permit, and in the other it references it, so there's some inconsistencies.
You could find that.
So I'll straighten it out.
Okay.
For boundary adjustments, there's no provision for wastewater concerns. Yeah, the state has got regulations, but you're looking to change the boundary moves from a DRB activity to a single person activity. So I think we've got to be very careful to make sure things are defined. And wastewater separation distances and all the concerns are not addressed at all. So for example, you can have somebody with a lot that had, a larger than 10 acre lot, so it has a septic in it that was not under state review, and then have a boundary adjustment to make that lot less than 10 acres. There's nothing to prevent that here. There's just no vehicle to prevent it. Now, what you do, what you have to do, is you have to get a state, I don't know the term, I don't know if it's a deferral permit, but when I did my boundary move, I had to have a state permit filed. Very simple to do, but it ensured that the land that I was taking, the lot for the land that I was taking, was not affecting any isolation distances or wastewater concerns. And that's not in this it's not in this boundary. There's no protection there. So that's an omission that I really think should be in. Because once the boundary is moved, somebody can convey a land, and then you've got something that's really a problem. And this is a question. It looks like the boundary moves can be between owners, too. Is it between owners or just boundary move with two lots with one owner? Or does it matter?
I don't understand your...
I did a boundary move. It was between two lots that I own. So it was just me. But when it goes between owners, then all sorts of other issues can rise up. So if this is intended to be between owners too, then really you have to make sure things are right, especially this septic stuff. Let's see, that's minor, so I'm going to give you a pass on that one. Sorry, everybody. Under lighting, page 65, 66, section 8.3. We had the discussion, and I thought the draft was going to say that all lands that went through a DRB would have the downcast lighting requirement. You remember my concern was that it was not consistent with the DRB. And I felt it should be one way or the other. And I thought the decision was made that any DRB stuff would have that requirement, and I don't see that in here. Now, I don't have a dog in this race, but it's just something that came to mind that it's not in the way I thought hadn't been discussed. And then for the dimensional standards.
So, David, just so I understand your point. So you're saying that any DRB review, any project review by the DRB should be required to have downcast lighting?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what I thought you had decided.
Okay.
What I was saying was it was inconsistent. If you look at the DRB decisions over the years, over 20 years, the current zoning says that it may, if it becomes an issue, the DRB will consider it. And you look at their decisions over 20 years, sometimes it's in, sometimes it's out. And inconsistencies are not right. Should be one way or the other.
So it's been inconsistently applied, is what you're saying.
The requirement has been inconsistently applied, because right. There is no requirement.
All right. Thanks.
So, go one way or the other. My feeling is that zoning is the law. We've got to follow the law. You should know what the law is so you can plan. The 100-foot frontage reduction, or the change in the frontage for AR district lots from 200 feet to 100 feet.
Where's that?
That's in the dimensional standards. It's in the table.
Yep.
To me, that's a major change. That wasn't listed in the major changes. You're changing a major, major, major requirement. And I disagree with it.
So where are we? Table A.
Got AR 1 and 2.
Oh, rural ag. Okay.
Rural ag. You know, when I moved into town, I look at a lot across from me, big farm, and I'm saying to myself, someday there's going to be houses there. I know that. I accept that. But the houses would be at least 200 feet apart. This change would allow trailers to go in every 100 feet. I don't want that. And I cannot reconcile how the reduction in frontage is allowed in every place in the zoning district except along Route 100, which is the main commercial corridor with the power and transportation, and would be the logical site for increased density. It makes no sense to do it bass-ackwards. And that's a major change. And then the last comment is for the Plateau District. It's limited to light industry, which is limited to 20 employees. I mentioned this before, so I'll mention this again as part of the record before I complain to the guys in back there. What you're saying is that Green Mountain Coffee couldn't put a test plant in there because that would be more than 20 people. It's got the road frontage. It's got the power. It's isolated from almost all the neighbors. It's the logical place to have larger scale development. And 20 people limitation is a very significant restriction. I mean, Artisan's Coffee couldn't have worked there. Green Mountain Coffee couldn't have. Obviously, they're huge now. But it's just, we got to think like Waterbury and be accommodating to larger opportunities for employment for the area. And it's the perfect place in town to do it. Any questions? So I owe you a get back on the septic.
Right.
Concerns.
Wastewater.
And I'll get that to you by 3:30 tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Randy?
My biggest concern is the addition to the boundaries to the wetlands or the brooks and streams. I own quite a bit of property in town and numerous brooks running through it, and although it's, you know, what I have now that's mostly being used for forestry still, don't want to see that increased. The taxes seem to go up every year, and property rights are one of the few things we do have for paying property taxes, and if we keep giving them away and keep raising our taxes, eventually something's worth owning any property for anybody. And I think what we have now has been working fine. I haven't seen any instances against that. So I'm with David on that one. And that would keep me from voting affirmative on the zoning, and I know you guys got a lot of work into it, and you know, you're clearing up a lot of things that need clearing up, and I feel that it's important that it does pass, and I'd hate to see something like that stop it from passing. That's about all, with the exception that the DRB actually has been voting consistently to put a condition on anybody that we do have downcast lighting. We've been doing that basically since the first year I got involved. I think I've been there for maybe 15 years, so we have been consistent since that time.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Getting back to the buffer issue, Randy, and do you see that affecting your use of forestry use of the property?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have to address that in the comments.
So I have one section that actually has two two tributaries running through it, so start multiplying that, that could be quite a few trees.
Okay. All set, Alan?
Yep.
Anything else, Randy?
I think it's about it, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Joanne?
I would just reiterate what Randy has said, especially with the forestry, you know, given that buffer, it could mean quite a bit of money loss for us. The only way that we can pay our taxes is to get money off from our property, and if this is going to hinder it, then I think that you should take that into consideration for everybody. And also, the other concern I have is the enforcement. You know, is the town of Duxbury ready to be an enforcement of these changes with what we have now? You know, with the personnel that we have now. So that's just a concern.
Okay. Jordan?
This is my first time here. I live in Waterbury. I just came here to listen and learn. And
oh, okay.
So I'll be here going forward.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, thank you very much. I guess we're done. And as I said at the beginning, we'll be meeting again a week from tonight to take this and figure out what to do with it. So I welcome you all back then.
Thank you.
I'm just concerned with this.